Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate the introduction. I want to thank Regina for her teaching. I, like Cheryl, took lots of notes. And gosh, where to start? yeah, this is a new format, and this I was hearing Ann talk about that earlier in her teaching about how it's a bit daunting. You know, because I'm not teaching directly from a book, it seems like, you know, it's like kind of like writer's block. You're sitting in front of a blank page, wondering what to put on it. But let me first say a prayer. Holy Spirit, inner wisdom, guide me through this teaching so that I would hear what it is that you would have me hear. Help me to be helpful. Amen. I want to say that I was just amazed at Regina's teaching. It seemed to answer a question that it seemed to answer a question that I had asked Inner Wisdom last night, based on the thought of awakening for yesterday. And so I think that that's a good place to start. I'm going to read that, and then you know, maybe look at what has been said by Regina in that regard. I thought her teaching really illuminated both my question and the answer to that question. So the thought of awakening was, do not think. Listen and accept. To think is to think you know, and to think you can decide. Because to think is to believe that you are all that you think you are. To not think is to trust that you are more than your thoughts. To not think is to allow an opening through which you may discover. And I wrote, teach me to learn not to think. Or teach me what you would have me see in this message that I'm not seeing. And hopefully writing with inner wisdom. You know, I never know when I put that pen to the paper, and I can only trust that that truth ekes through my writing. But the answer that seemed to come is this. It says, there is no action in not thinking. It only seems as if there is. Rather, you must catch yourself in the act of thinking and remind yourself that it is the action of thinking or the active interest in thinking that must be let go. You are developing the natural ability to rely on intuition, but it is rarely your first choice. Just remember to question each thought that appears in the mind by asking it whether it is a thought that comes from me or your own inner intuition, or one that appears to rely upon your past learning for its validity. At first, this process may appear to be cumbersome, but with continued practice, these two types of thought are easily discerned between. Remember the pause or gap that allows the necessary space for discernment. Not only do I ask you to pause before acting on any thought, but I ask you to use the pause to practice discernment. You are never alone in this process. Your pause allows me to guide you and removes the temptation to revert to reliance on the thinking mind. Remember to practice with each thought. Currently, you do well in remembering to question those thoughts you judge as bad thoughts, but seem to rely comfortably on those thoughts that seem helpful. You must bring those thoughts as well to me, so that we can discern true thoughts or intuition from the thoughts of the thinking mind. Rest. As often as you remember, rest. I will provide that which is helpful for you to know when you require that knowledge. Let go of all thoughts that do not come from me. Blessings. And so it was with some interest that I heard Regina, seemingly, what I heard anyway, was her teaching on this same general principle. And, you know, and so I found out, like Cheryl was saying, that I'm in kindergarten. Because really, that first level that Regina talked about, you know, you learn to just discern attack thoughts from thoughts of love, ego thoughts from Holy Spirit thoughts, wrong mind from right mind. As the writing said, I get that now, even if sometimes I slip into, and that happens on a regular basis, I slip into the wrong mind, I easily am able to see that it is the wrong mind. And generally fairly quickly am able to shift back to the right mind. But it's this idea of, learning to shift away from thought entirely, that seems to be the step that I'm on. So, I'm hoping to graduate from kindergarten soon. And I know, right? That's what we've been doing for the past year in gentle healing, and certainly with renewed vigor in the second year of gentle healing. But again, I thought it was quite interesting, and as promised, the promise was, when you need the knowledge, I'll be sure to give it to you. And so, you know, I tune into Regina today, and there it is, right there in front of me. Yeah, and as Regina identified it in my notes anyway, the second level, discerning between the level of witness and the objects. You know, all thoughts are not you, she said. The body's not you. The emotions are not you. And again, that seems to be the stage where I am. So, you know, I would just invite my own willingness or make my own willingness an invitation to learn to do exactly that. Yeah, and moving into I wrote detecting, and I know that's not the word that Regina used, but awareness of the I Am Presence is the idea. Okay, guys, I am very uncomfortable today. I feel like I'm thanks, Al. That I'm working without a net today. So I appreciate your patience and your encouragement. I do think what I'd like to do is I had initially picked a song that I would like to play, and I think that this is right on point as well. It is called Shine by Alexi Murdoch. So I am going to play that song. And I don't know if this is the one. One of his songs has some really weird opening. It sounds like somebody scratching something at the beginning of the song, so don't let that disturb you if this is the one. Here's the song.
This is how we are fading. This is how we are fading. It's time to believe in what you know. time to believe before you go.
Yeah, that's Alexi Murdoch. He has a lot of really cool songs, and like I say, I think that one's right on time. I love the line in there that I'm a spirit trying to be human, and it's time to shine. It's time to believe in what you know. So I'm ready for this graduation from. I don't even know if Regina said I was in kindergarten or, well, she didn't say anything about me, right? I picked my spot on that scale. But whether I'm graduating, I don't know if I'm graduating from kindergarten to primary school. but it's time to move on. It's really time to move on. Time to shine, right? And I love, I also love the lyric, you know, you don't need strength to be strong, you know, because it's not my strength that I'm drawing on. It's my inner strength, you know, it's not the strength of the person. And really, I can see that that's been a theme for me this week. And it certainly was this morning as well. In fact, I thought I spent too long fooling around this morning and didn't get to write yet. But you know, I want to ask a question about this. What I'm calling, what in my mind is called white knuckling. You know, and you hear people in Alcoholics Anonymous talk about white knuckling it. You know, just hanging on until you can. You know, get some clarity, and certainly that is where I found myself. I think last time I spoke or the time before I was talking about an existential crisis. But it's funny because you know, if I were a fundamentalist Christian, I might say I lost my faith. because I was really looking at, you know, if there's no, and I don't want to back up too far into this, but what I went through was this idea of some kind of individualized deity that might be beneficent and help little Jacqueline on her way. I didn't really realize I was thinking that, but turns out that's what I was thinking. And so it was a shedding of that belief that there's a you know, a benevolent God or someone there who's looking out for me. And I see that and it was difficult to move from that idea into something closer to the truth. For a while I quit thinking, at least on an intellectual level, of this beneficent deity and began to think of the flow of the universe and but I still held remnants of this beneficent deity that wanted me to do well, that wanted my life to quote unquote succeed. But for some time now, I have thought at least intellectually of this belief in a universal flow. But still, it was a beneficent force that would make sure that I was okay, right? So now I seem to be moving into, I was going to say, awareness of that it's up to me to find my place in the flow. But I really think that that's where I'm at now, because even that seems like seems like too active a role for the character of Jacqueline. It really seems like a doing. And so while I have once again found my faith, if you will, while I have well I can while I can honestly and experientially say that I see that there is grace, I see that there is, for lack of better words, an intelligent, well, and Regina talks about it as naturalness, right? I was going to say an intelligent design to the universe, but it's not just random chaos, right? Which is where I was for a week or so when I'm like, well, if there's no smart guy or girl moving stuff around, right, then where does the intelligence come from? Again, it's this idea that's beyond the thinking mind. And of course, grace would be. And of course, the grand scheme of things, the mystery is called the mystery for a reason. And in the past week or so, maybe 2 weeks, I have found my willingness to surrender to the mystery. And yet, I still, as I go through my daily life, I still see that I want to help, that I want to. I want to take snippets of the truth that I receive and kind of force them into my little mold. I want to be very, very helpful. And sometimes getting in there, you're just in the way. You're not very, very helpful, right? So I kind of want to force the issue. So I called it white knuckling a while ago, and it's really kind of a bulldoze energy that I experience. And so let me tell you a little bit about what's going on with me, and maybe I can give some of this some context. As you know, I am moving to Colorado, hopefully in the very near future. And I have a house for sale. You guys all know that story. And I also have this condo that we're living in. And when we originally bought this condo, we came in and we gutted it, and we did a lot of work and a lot of beautiful work. And then we did some work that was, not the greatest work, and then we had some things that got left undone. Recently, someone else who used to live in these condos told me that she knew someone that might be interested in purchasing this condo, even though we don't have it on the market yet, because there were still things to do, and it didn't seem like the things were getting done. But so this conversation with this person gave me motivation to, get on it, figure out what needs to be done, what absolutely has to be done, and get that done. So there's been kind of a breathless mode about that, and at the same time, there have been just beautiful insights that I would never have thought of, just from simple things like, gosh, here's a good way to fix that window seal that looks unsightly, right? Okay, maybe you can't replace the windows, but here's a way to make it presentable, right? For this person who might look at the condo, or for anybody else that might look at it. And just some real simple stuff comes in, and it's really, really sweet because it's stuff that I never would have dreamed of. But at the same time, there's this energy. It's like I had too much coffee, and maybe sometimes I do have too much coffee. But I'm familiar with that energy. It's like really wanting to get in there and go, oh, and then I could do this, and then I could do this, and some of that, it feels fun. It feels exciting. It's like, yes, like I talked to you guys before about, it's like movement, yay. Because frankly, there's nothing worse than feeling stagnant, like nothing's moving, there's not a breeze. So it's a place of hopefulness. As distinguished from, and these are really bad words, they're not describing it very well, but as distinguished from a place of like, you know, flatness, meaninglessness, like, okay, what's the point? So that's a good thing. That's a good step. But I can see my my doing energy. You know, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to wrestle it to the ground. And, you know, I'm going to watch every YouTube video there ever was on. Right now I'm trying to put a lock on the old storm door. And, you know, and I don't have the key to the old lock. And how do you get it out? And how do you pick a lock? And how do you, you know, can you use a bump key? Can you use a... I mean, so, you know, I'm now this newly after this morning an expert, not really, but on how to fix that. And, you know, and... The time that I took this morning, for example, on figuring this lock thing out, was time that could have been spent and is usually spent in meditation and contemplation. And so the first thing that I want to throw out the window, hummingbird in energy, yeah, that's what it feels like. Yeah. The first thing that I want to throw out the window is, you know, oh, I got to get this done. So I'm gonna throw this. And I think I heard Regina talking about this last night in Gentle Healing. I don't have to. Who's got time for contemplation and meditation? I need to get right on this. You know, time's a wasting. So I do believe that there is a natural flow. And I do believe that I can find my place within that flow. And that really, again, that's a bad way of saying it. That I can find the flow is really what I want to say, because I, Jacqueline, has no place in the flow, right? It's the surrender to the flow. But I think the demand that I immediately find, you know, so tell me how to let go of the thinking mind, right? The demand that I jump from where I seem to be standing to the flow is, you know, it's still that grasping energy. It's still that, you know, that seemingly wanting something that I don't have, rather than the recognition that this is something that I do have, something that I am, and that you know, just like the Course told us, right? It's just removing the blocks, So there's an ongoing process of purification here. And it's beyond being my right mind or in my wrong mind. It's beyond listening to ego or listening to Holy Spirit. It's really looking at what drives me. What, you know, what seems to block me from allowing myself to simply rest. Right, and that's what my writing told me. excuse me. Rest as often as you remember. Rest. I will provide that which is helpful for you to know when you require that knowledge. All right, so it's talking about resting my thoughts. It started with there's no action in not thinking. It's about resting. And in order, you know, it's in order to rest. Seems like I heard somebody else say this recently. Maybe it was Gloria on Sunday. It includes that component of trust, right? Not that running ahead. Okay, what would you have me do now? And now, Holy Spirit, and now, can I have the next moment of guidance? And so I can, because I got to figure out this door. Can you tell me what to do with this door? Right? yeah. So I think that's excellent advice, is to learn to rest. At the same time, while I'm experiencing what I'm experiencing, I'm reminded, and I read this last night with Connie when we did our NTI, Growing with NTI Hour. This is from NTI 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says, everything that comes to you for your healing. There is nothing that you experience that cannot have that purpose if that is the purpose you give it. And so that's why I do while I'm rest. What I do while I'm resting, right? I mean, I really look at the thoughts that come up in the mind, and gosh, and it just occurred to me this writing that I did when my son Josh and my husband Tom were putting in my new front door, which was interesting. That I was really practicing being the observer, the watcher, right, of the thoughts. And the front door was a bear. I have heard since anyway that it's very difficult. You know, it's not just a matter of sliding that. You know, it was a pre-hung door, so it's not just a matter of sliding that front door into the hole and going, okay, we're done. You know, you got to shim it here, you got to shim it there, you got to get it all squared up. And that's particularly difficult to do in a building that was built in 1979, and that, you know, I can't say much for the craftsmanship around here, but so, you know, it was a big job. It was a big job. My biggest contribution was going to the store and with Josh and buying the door and then making dinner. But anyway, I'm going to read this to you show me how I really used the opportunity for my healing, and how I used it to really just be the observer of the thoughts that I found there, the would-be obstacles to resting in the flow. Okay, and so this was ostensibly I was writing this in regard to the thought of awakening for that day, but you know, again, there's a flow. All of these things come together, and I've always been amazed how the teaching is what it is. So whatever lesson I seem to be on, whatever it is that I'm learning about myself, it seems to come in from every teacher that I listen to, from every program that I turn on, you know, to watch. The same lesson is being told over and over and over again. And, you know, if I was questioning how to place my trust in this naturalness, in this flow, that's actually a very, very good reminder, right? Because it all comes in so sweetly, so gently, and even not gently, right? But it all comes in from all different directions at once. So anyway, let me take a drink, and then I'm gonna read this to you. Okay, this was Thought of Awakening number 41. To have faith in your brother is to have faith in the light. To have faith in the light is to have faith in God. Now, I am not sure that's the entire thought of awakening, because I have a sentence here that just says to have faith in the light. So I don't know if I have accurately captured that entire thought of awakening. Looking around to see where I can pull that up. So let me see if I can find it on the website. One second. Oh, is that it? Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Yeah, okay. So to have faith in your brothers, to have faith in the light. To have faith in the light is to have faith in God. Okay, and I wrote, I can see how my desire to control is a lack of faith in the light within those around me. I can see how that lack of faith is wordlessly communicated to others. I can see how this relates as well to my distrust of others in knowing the truth. So I've gotten a little bit ahead of myself. So I'm going to back up here and talk about this. So what was going on with me when Tom and Josh were putting the door in? For years, my son was an alcoholic. Well, I guess, they say you're an alcoholic, you always are, but for years he was drinking. And I had some real lessons around that way back when, maybe 10 years or so ago, and where I just had to really take the hands off the wheel. I had created a really codependent relationship with him, where I was always trying to shore him up. Are you okay now? Are you okay now? What can I do now? Oh gosh, if he gets upset, then he won't want to go to work in public. All of this stuff, right? That it was. I'm sure that they. I'd never went to Al-Anon, but I'm sure that this is the sort of thing that they talk about there, because it was just a real, again, that hummingbird energy that Cheryl mentioned a while ago. Yeah. And Kathy says yes, that they talk about that in Al-Anon, yeah. But yeah, that need, my need to make sure that Josh is okay. So Josh and I had shopped all day. We bought countertops, we bought doors, we bought indoor outdoor carpet for the patio. So we had done a lot of shopping, and then we came home with this door. Well, you get home with a door, there's only one place to put it, in the door hole, right? I mean, so that means, you come home and at the end of a long day, you got to take the old door out, which was not easy, and begin putting this new one in. So you're, at the end of the day, you're going, oh gosh, here's a project that we need to do. Otherwise, we leave this door leaning up against the wall till the next time Josh can come back. He was here on Sunday. He works 40 hours a week, right? So it was what it was, and we set about to making that happen. Tom was here and able to help at that time, although he's not been feeling well. So it wasn't clear that he was going to be able to help, from what I could gather, he was not necessarily up to the task. He was like, oh man, I don't think that door is going to work. That's going to be so hard to put in. That type of energy. So this was the situation that we faced with this door. But Tom has questions about his home improvement skills. I think he's done a lot of great work on some things and a lot of not so great work on other things, right? So I have questions about Tom's home improvement skills. But it was killing me to be on the other side of the room or in the kitchen Killing me, you know, it's a little extreme, but you know, it was really difficult to just be over there and not hover, right? And you know, can I help you guys? What can I do? You want me to hold on to something? Da, 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 da. Again, that same energy. And you know, that energy, I know that energy is communicated. You know, and Tom talks about being discouraged when he gets ready to start a project around here. Because I'm like, put up this great big no. I'm like, I don't do that. I don't say no. But I do go, are you sure you know what you're doing? Do you think you should use that tool instead of that tool? I mean, it's that energy, right? It's that wordless communication. I don't trust you. I have a lack of faith that you're going to be able to do what you're getting, what you have set out to do. Yeah. And it's the same thing with Josh. It's the same energy with Josh, but it's different, right? It's like he's tired. It's the end of the day. I know he'd rather go home. I know he's got to go to work tomorrow. I know that his weekends are for resting after working 40 hours a week, you know. And so I'm like, gee, are you still okay? Are you okay? Oh, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so appreciative that you're doing this, but it's still going. It's still saying, hey, I don't trust that you're okay. I don't trust that you're doing what you want to do. Yeah, so, and again, that gee, I hope you're okay, gee, I hope you're okay. It's a wordless communication of my lack of faith in them. And so, yeah, and I am grateful for the insight. Cheryl says, be grateful you have this insight. I'm absolutely grateful for it. Then I had the additional insight. Like I say, I can see how this lack of faith is wordlessly communicated to others. And then in that moment, grace gave me an additional insight. And it was this. I can see how this relates as well to my distrust of others in knowing the truth. And this is a deeper block for me. And for a long time, you know, I get irritated with people who seem to like be metaphysical ghosting, going, "Oh, it's all okay because we're not a body, and you know, and God's got this, and you know, so you don't need to worry." And it's like, that's kind of skimming the surface. That's kind, you know. I experience the same thing sometimes when, and I did it last night with Connie teaching. Connie and I teaching in this Growing with NTI. It's like I'm like trying to communicate something, and it seems like she's taken it back up a level to I don't know how to describe it. And this might hurt her feelings. So, Connie, if you're listening later to this recording, I apologize. but there's a little bit of irritation there, you know? It's like, no, that's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm trying to communicate something much deeper, right? And I hear that. But it's the same. Yeah, and my famous joke about it, famous with the folks who you know who know me is, you know, one time when I was out at the monastery, out at Living Church Ministries, Hoffmeister's place, I'm seemingly in this big tearful, you know, oh, this is what I'm going through, and da 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 da, trying to explain what's going on with me, and this new guy's been there 2 days, comes in, he's listening, and he goes, gotta forgive it, and I want to choke him, right? It's like, no. Gotta forgive it, right? So it's the same energy that I have that I bring to it when it feels like someone's just skimming the surface and not digging deep enough, and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is the same thing on a deeper level. So when Connie and I were teaching last night, I felt a little bit of that energy come in, and I was able to shift from this, you know, it's a judgment, right? Gotta forgive it, but really it's a judgment, and it's shifting from this belief that I know something to this understanding that I don't know. I don't know what their experience is. I'm not, who am I to rob them of where they are in their understanding of things? You know, it's got nothing to do with me, right? It's my job is to love it. Got to forgive it. I mean, you know, maybe I ought to write that on my forehead, right? Or on a post-it note around here or something. Really, no, you got to forgive it. I could feel the shift in that energy because of this writing. So I'm going to go ahead and read this because I see this hour has just flown by, which I didn't think it would do. But I want to read what came after that, you know, I call it insight, but really that grace came in. So I'm just going to, from participant to observer. Yeah. So I'm just going to read this. It says, we are all given the same. Allow yourself to see the sameness and the glory of the light that shines through all that you encounter. Allow yourself to see the sameness and the glory of the light that shines through all that you encounter. By your seeing, perception of the light increases in each of you and all of us. When you are tempted to fill in the gaps in another's perception, which is what I was trying to do with Connie, with Josh, with Tom, when you are tempted to fill in the gaps in another's perception, realize that it is the imagined gap that you are focused on, and turn your attention to the light within. By looking to the light within, you will more clearly perceive the light in others. And, you know, gosh, isn't that what Course in Miracles told us to do? You know, you first look out, first look within before looking out, right? And perceive the light within, and then you will perceive it in others. So let me just read that again. By looking to the light within, you will more clearly perceive the light in others. You have had this experience and know it to be true. And specifically what I was referring to there was, you know, when I was at that enlightenment intensive in New Mexico, it took me a while to get into it. And I found that I was able to fully participate in the experience by joining my partner in the dyad in our sameness. And in our sameness, as I perceived it then, began at our desire for an experience of the truth, right? Which is, you know, the desire, the same thing, this desire to perceive the light within us. So, and I just want to start the paragraph again, so let me do that. When you are tempted to fill in the gaps in another's perception, realize that it is the imagined gap that you are focused on, and turn your attention to the light within. By looking to the light within, you will more clearly perceive the light in others. You have had this experience and know it to be true. Draw on this experience as a reminder when you are tempted to perceive others as lacking what you have been given. Remember, we are all given the same. That sameness is the light. Blessings on your journey. So I appreciate... I appreciate the opportunity to share that here because, you know, exactly as my teacher, Regina Dawn Akers, has said, you know, it's not until you actually share that that its greater meaning is made clear, till I can really just drink the fruit of that. And that feels like what's occurred for me with this teaching from Inner Wisdom today. So, again, I appreciate the opportunity to share that. I will say that it's some of this is seems difficult to share because I feel like the reaction would be, well, who the hell does she think she is, right? Oh, so she's got more than the rest of us. So there's some fear around sharing those kind of thoughts. There's a little bit of shame in that. And I know that's ego kickback. But I appreciate this space, and I appreciate your willingness to allow me I don't know quite how to put that. To allow me to hem-haw around, to allow me to share my personal experience, and to allow me to share the insight that is given me, particularly when it doesn't paint the prettiest picture of what goes on in this thinking mind. So I love you guys, and I'll see you next time. I'm going to let go of the mic.
I'm doubting myself.